Welcome to The Food Fix, where we talk with innovators who are figuring out how to better feed the world. I'm your host, Casey Wurst. Typically, air conditioners are not seen as a way to keep food cold enough to safely eat. But a new technology lets air conditioners provide safe and inexpensive cold food storage. Ron Kolsla, a small farmer in upstate New York, created a technology called CoolBot that turns almost any window air conditioner into a food storage machine for about an eighth of the cost of a walk-in refrigeration unit. The device can make the air conditioners cold enough to freeze water and maintain this temperature through multiple sensors. His innovation could help reduce food waste and post-harvest losses in developing countries. He spoke with Ali Hussein, a reporter for The Food Fix.
Hi, Ron, and welcome to The Food Fix.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
Tell us about yourself, Ron.
My wife and I had a farm, Huguenot Street Farm, in upstate New York for many years. And I really like to make things. When I was a kid, I liked to tear things apart, especially electronic things. As I got older, I got more interested in putting them together in sort of interesting ways. And so we did a lot of kind of cool hacks on the farm, including a solar electric tractor and a whole bunch of other tools and implements, some that didn't work at all, and then the CoolBot, which is what we're talking about today.
When you were working at your farm, what kind of a food storage issues did you face?
When Kate and I started the farm, we'd both gone to the ag school at Cornell. We were really familiar and excited to be growing vegetables. We were really proud of the quality of the produce that we were growing and delivering to our local customers. That's exactly how we worked for the first couple few years. We didn't think a lot about post-harvest care, and we didn't feel like we needed to because we sold just locally and directly through farmers markets and direct to restaurants and direct through a CSA. What happened was, customers would sometimes say to us, well, your produce doesn't last as long in the refrigerator as the stuff that I get all the way across the country from California. But I'm sure it's because your produce is organic and the California stuff isn't really organic. And I knew that wasn't true. I knew that it had to be something that we were doing that was causing our produce, after it left our farm gate, to go bad more quickly than stuff that came all the way across the country. That's when I started to get more into post-harvest care. There's a lot of little things you can do, right? I mean, we started putting wet sheets over things out in the field and taking more runs up to the barn and spritzing things off. But there's only so much you can do without really being able to, like, suck the field heat out of produce, and that required a walk-in cooler. Once I realized that was, like, the biggest problem that we were having, I went out to try to go buy a walk-in cooler, and they're really expensive. And all our friends that had them, not only were they expensive, they use an enormous amount of electricity, and they break down a lot. And since they're a specialty device, cost of repairing them requires a specialty person that in our area charged $80 to $100 per hour, including travel time. And we just weren't making that much money on the farm. I was kind of in a stuck situation where I wanted to have good quality produce for our customers to buy. I realized that that required post-harvest cooling in a big walk-in cooler space, but I couldn't afford the only options that we had available to us.
How did you come up with the idea of using a window air conditioner for food storage?
That was really my lack of understanding of basic physics and HVAC. So somebody brought over an air conditioner that we have a garbage day, and somebody had dumped an air conditioner on the side of the road. And one of our friends was like, hey, I know you're trying to cool your produce. I saw this big air conditioner. It was like from the 70s. It was so old. We had a room that I had built that was really insulated. We installed that air conditioner, and then I started fiddling with the controls to see if I could get it to get colder than the air conditioner was originally designed to do. There's two reasons, and I only understood one of them when this process started, that air conditioners can't cool a room to like 38 degrees, which is the temperature of a refrigerator and what we need to keep the produce looking good. One problem is that the air conditioners are electronically limited from getting colder. They have a thermostat in them. The new air conditioners all have like a digital display, and you can't set that thermostat down below like 64 degrees. The first thing I did was just like yank out that thermostat and then wire in a new one that I could turn down to any temperature that I wanted. And then I ran into the second problem, which is the physics problem. An air conditioner uses a compressor, without going into too many details. So there's this compressor, and the compressor is like a heat pump. It actually sucks heat out of one space and puts that heat into another space. We feel it as though the air conditioner, or if you had a conventional walk-in cooler compressor, we feel that it's blowing cold air out. That's what we experience. But the way that it happens is by removing heat from one space to another. So once I knew that I needed to make a space, I needed to do what everybody else in the world was doing and cool a space down to 38 degrees Fahrenheit, the next obvious question was, oh, let me just go out and buy a conventional walk-in cooler compressor like everybody else in the world does. When we got the quotes, I realized that we couldn't afford it, and for three reasons. First of all, the upfront cost was too high. It was $2,500 to $4,000. Second of all, it used an enormous amount of electricity. We had friends who had them, and their electric bills were like $80 to $120 a month, which, again, as small farmers, we couldn't afford. And then the third thing was they broke down a lot, and since it was such a specialty device and you needed a special repair person, the charges for those repairs was at like $80 to $120 an hour, and I couldn't afford that either. I wanted to have something that I could fix myself or that I could easily replace that was a commodity item. When we were walking through Home Depot, they had air conditioners with 10,000 BTU compressors that only cost $200. I was like, a BTU is a BTU is a BTU. Why do I have to spend $3,000 whenever I can buy the same thing for $200? That's what made me think, basically a combination of ignorance and hope, a desperate hope, really, that I could just use a standard window air conditioner with a 10,000 BTU compressor to cool a space down to 38 degrees.
Why do you think others did not come up with this idea?
It's because they were a lot smarter than me. So what I didn't understand was that it's not just about the compressor. When you look at a conventional walk-in cooler cooling system, yes, a BTU is a BTU. Yes, a 10,000 BTU compressor is going to be the same whether it's in a big conventional system or in an air conditioner, but it's everything that comes after that compressor that is so different. I can make 10,000 BTUs of cold, but when we try to get the cold out into the room, that's where we have a problem. A conventional compressor has three huge fans, and it's maybe like 4 feet long of fins and coils. So the compressor cools a liquid, and the liquid goes running through those coils, and all those coils, a big surface area, gets cold, way below freezing, even though the temperature that you're trying to get the room to be maybe only 38 degrees. The coil, that metal temperature, is down to like 20 or 25 degrees, and then you blow big, strong fans over it. An air conditioner has a very small amount of surface area, much, much smaller than a conventional cooler, and it only has one very small and weak fan. What happens when you try to move that same 10,000 BTUs of cold out the front of a small surface area and weak fanned air conditioner, the front of the air conditioner turns into a solid block of ice. As soon as the solid block of ice forms, you can't push the air over to circulate into the room to cool the room temperature down. Everybody else knew that. I didn't know that. That's where something that I had an advantage that maybe people 20 years ago didn't have. Microcontrollers in today's world are really inexpensive, and I saw this as a logic problem. If I stood there and I watched when ice started to form and I caught it at the right time, if I could then shut off the compressor, the ice would melt in just 1 to 2 minutes, and then I could turn it back on, and then the cold air could blow out the front of the air conditioner for another 5 or even 10 minutes, and then the ice would start to form, and then I'd turn it off manually and then turn it back on when the ice would melt, and then it would cool the room more. If I stood in front of it, I could easily get the room down to 38 degrees. But if I left, just freeze up. I knew that I basically just needed to create a little robot using cheap microcontrollers to make those decisions for me. That's why probably nobody else had done it historically, is we didn't have such cheap microcontrollers that were easy to program like they are now. My college friend Timothy, he was a programmer. We got a microcontroller. We programmed it to basically watch for ice. That's what the whole CoolBot device is. It's a device that's watching for ice on the front fins of the air conditioner. When it detects the ice, it cycles the compressor off until the ice disappears, and then it cycles it back on.
How much does a CoolBot cost?
The CoolBot costs $315 here in the U.S. The customer could buy our CoolBot device, And then they have to supply any standard window air conditioner from Home Depot or Walmart or wherever. And then they also have to build their own cold room.
How long does it take to connect the window air conditioner with the CoolBot?
It's about 1 minute. It's really fast. We have a YouTube video on our storeitcold.com website. It's really simple.
What is the maintenance cost of CoolBot?
It's really low. So one advantage of this system is that you're purchasing a commodity item, which is a window air conditioner. And hundreds of thousands of window air conditioners are produced each year, and they have long warranties on them. So that's really different than conventional cooling systems, which are still somewhat of a specialty item. We can buy air conditioners from Samsung and LG and Toshiba. Those air conditioners, the compressors are often warrantied for 5 years. Even at Walmart and Home Depot, you can buy extended warranties for like $30, 5 year warranty on the entire system. Conventional systems, you only get like a 1 year warranty. And air conditioners, if you have a window air conditioner in your house, you know, they run for a decade or two. It's very low electrical maintenance. The other cost would be electricity use. And electricity costs are much lower with a CoolBot system than a conventional system as well.
What is an ideal room size to use CoolBot?
The average hour users tend to be smaller. The 8x8 to 10x10 range is the most common people using our system. Say the biggest average size coolers using CoolBot systems are like maybe 12x16 feet in size. There are people that do much bigger systems, but then above 12x16, you really start to need to use multiple air conditioners and multiple cool bots. So we do have spaces that are 20x40 and 40x40, but they're using lots of cool bots and lots of air conditioners.
Both inside US and internationally, where do you think CoolBot is being currently used?
We've crossed over 30,000 installations now around the world, which is still amazing to me. I just made this for my own farm. We're in 60 countries. I think over half of our customers are still small farmers, which is all I was thinking about. But we're also used for vaccine and medicine storage. Restaurants and caterers, obviously, are going to use us, but also a lot of beer making. There's people that like cure meat product. Bakers use us for retarding dough. We're used by a ton of florists, mortuaries, grocery stores, cheesemakers, lots of stuff.
So far, what has been the response from the customers? Do you have any success stories to share?
Usually what people are thinking about when they buy a CoolBot system is the upfront cost is so much cheaper than a conventional cooler. Once they buy us, they like us more because electric bills in a CoolBot system are so low. Like $1 a day for even a good-sized cooler is a pretty expected rate, which is a fraction of what a conventional cooling system would cost. Then they also realize they can fix things themselves. They don't have to hire somebody. Worst case scenario is they have to go buy another air conditioner while they give away the air conditioner to somebody else to fix, and then they can bring it back. So biggest success stories that I hear are small farmers who are realizing, like I did, that without post-harvest care, even when you're selling locally and directly and immediately, the quality of your product is just not that good. It also, labor is a real problem. And when you have a cooler, you can spread out your harvest time with the same end product of quality. Kate and I, and we had one helper, Gavin, on our farm, we were able to harvest over 2 days instead of just like the morning before our customers were going to come. Mm-hmm. And that allowed us to double the size of our CSA and then obviously make lots more money. And it was all just because of an air conditioner. The other thing you're able to do is like expand products. So strawberries, before the CoolBot invention, we did do some strawberries, but we didn't do many. And it was because we would harvest strawberries and we really had to sell them that day or the color would change and it got really bad. Well, with a CoolBot system, we could harvest them, run them up to the cooler, and then we had like 4 days to sell them. And they looked just as good at the end of 4 days as they did at the end of the day before a CoolBot.
What could be some of the limitations of CoolBot?
The cool things about CoolBot are, you know, it's so cheap up front and it uses so little electricity, but there's always a downside to everything. And the big downside with the CoolBot is that because we have so little surface area and the fan is so weak on the CoolBot, those are the same things that are giving us a cheaper price of materials and less electricity use because there's only one small fan instead of three or four big fans. But the transfer of cold is slower. really busy active coolers are not a good choice for a CoolBot system. Likewise, if you're bringing in tons and tons of produce, and I literally mean tons and tons of produce, we work with winery in California, and they're bringing in 6 tons of grapes in a day that they need to cool to a certain temperature. Our specifications were completely unable to keep up with that amount of heat load because all those grapes are so hot and that single air conditioner just couldn't pull the heat out. They decided to stay with our system, but they ended up having to install 4 CoolBots to keep up with the load rather than the one that we all thought they could get away with.
What do you think are the implications of using CoolBot to improve food security in developing countries?
We're getting a lot of attention for 2 reasons. One is, your listeners may already know, that say on average 35 to 45% of fresh produce is rotting on the way to market. There's an excitement about any sort of post-harvest care, cooling specifically, that can increase people's yields by 40%. Their real yields, right? Because what they can produce on the farm, that's great, but real yields are what they can actually deliver to the consumer. There's a lot of interest in cheaper, more affordable cooling systems, and the CoolBot is currently the best we have available to us right now. It's more affordable, which gives access to more people, but the other thing is, since it uses so little electricity, people have started playing with attaching the CoolBot and the air conditioner to a solar system, which is working pretty well. So we don't have a lot of people trying that, but where it would be impossible with a conventional cooling system, it's actually possible. It's still a lot of solar panels and a lot of batteries, but it actually does work. So we're able to deliver room-scale cold storage solutions to areas without power.
What are the next steps for your innovation?
Right now, I think the most important thing is trying to provide access to people in other countries. So many small farmers know about it in the U.S., and we're growing really quickly just by word of mouth. Month over month, our sales are 30 to even 50% more. But in India, Bangladesh, Pakistan, Africa, like, I'd love to see a lot more CoolBots there. Trying to get the word out to those places and figure out distribution models is, I think, the biggest challenge. That's what I'd like to work more on.
Thank you very much, Ron. It was a pleasure speaking with you, and we wish you the best in your project.
You too. I really enjoyed it.
Listening. Can you think of any other uses for CoolBot? Email us with any questions or comments at foodfixpodcast@gmail.com. The Food Fix is produced and edited by Ali Hussein and myself, Casey Wurst. Our theme music is the song Watchin' My Garden Grow by two of our favorite Michigan artists, Lindsay Liu and Josh Wilco. Funding for the podcast is provided by the Global Center for Food Systems Innovation at Michigan State University, a development lab funded by USAID. Have a great day.